We look ahead to next Sunday's Academy Awards. This year, the movie Everything, Everywhere, All at Once may have the most buzz. It leads the pack with 11 nominations. Not far behind on the list is The Banshees of Inisherin and a remake of All Quiet on the Western Front. Also in the mix are blockbusters like Top Gun, Maverick, and Avatar, The Way of Water. One of our favorite film critics joins us now to preview the Oscars, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen any of this year's nominated movies or actors? What did you think? Are there films you saw you think should have been nominated for an Oscar? Are you looking for a recommendation, something you gotta see before the ceremony? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Reggie Ponder is a film critic, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. He appears weekly on Vocalo in Chicago and critiques movies for several other media outlets. He's one of the voters for the Critics' Choice Awards. You can follow him at Twitter at Reggie the Real Critic. That's R-E-E-L. Reggie, welcome back to the show.
Bob, how are you?
Pretty good. Now, before we get to specific movies, just the mix of the 10 movies on this list of nominees, like some straight-up blockbusters, some quirky, weird things, some serious stuff. I mean, there's like, I don't know. I don't remember seeing this much variety in one class. What do you think?
I think you're right. I don't know if you recall last time we talked, there was the talk at the Oscars of having a special category for popular films. I wonder if that had, since they decided to scratch that, did that have any impact on the fact that there are some blockbusters here? I know Avatar, the original, did really well and was an Academy Award nominee and all of that. But the sequels don't usually make it to that. So the fact that Avatar is there, the fact that,
Avatar and the Top Gun. Do they even count as sequels, Reggie, when you wait this long? I mean, it's been like, you know, one or two generations. Does this mean I can finally count on that Buckaroo Banzai sequel coming out? These took a long time to come back to the theaters.
It did take a very, very, very long time. But I think as we talk about Avatar, the ones that are going to come after it probably won't take as long. I think just from a technological standpoint, that's the issue for Avatar, The Way of Water. If you talk about Top Gun, I just think that they were trying to get at it and didn't know how they could come back to it, and that they finally found something that they were satisfied with.
All right, let's start with what seems to be a favorite, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, I mentioned you vote on the Critics' Choice Award, best picture there, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Lots of nominations. I watched it. I enjoyed it. It was a wild movie. I wouldn't necessarily in years past think, yeah, the Oscar people are going to eat this up. Why is it there?
I think it's there because, for a number of reasons. This whole issue about the multiverse is everywhere now. If you look at in all of the, you know, Marvel universe, everybody's talking about these different universes. And I think the way in which the writers and directors approached this, meaning Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert and Jonathan Wang, the way they approached this was new, fresh, different, and funny and good. And it had Michelle Yeoh. If you don't like Michelle Yeoh, I love her. What a great performance I felt. And I understand where you're coming from when you say, I don't know if this is really that Oscar-worthy movie. I do think that it breaks through the mundane films like a, and I don't mean mundane in terms of I didn't like it, but when you look at a movie like All Quiet on the Western Front, this is a totally different movie than something like that.
Exactly. And I want to go listen to Michelle Yeoh as Evelyn confronting her daughter about their relationship. Here is a listen.
You are getting fat. And you never call me, even though we have a family plan.
What?
And it's free. You only visit when you need something. You got a tattoo, and I don't care. If it's supposed to represent our family, you know I hate tattoos. And of all the places I could be, why would I want to be here with you? Yes, you're right. It doesn't make sense.
Evelyn, Beshola, Gola.
Let her finish.
And I think that is pointing toward what you were talking about there, Reggie. It is this big high concept movie and science fiction and zaniness, but the relationships really are at the heart of it.
the relationships are absolutely at the heart of it. And it's this woman, ordinary woman, trying to figure out life and motherhood and being a wife, and they're trying to save the house, and just the relationship with the character that Jamie Lee Curtis plays. It's very, very quirky, but you have to stay with it. I will tell you, I know some folks who started it and said, I don't know. And I'll say, please stay with it. Stay with this movie. I think the payoff is worth it.
Talking to Reggie Ponder, a.k.a. Reggie the Real Critic, previewing the Oscars on Sunday. You can join in with your personal nominations, who you hope will win, your favorite movies of last year, ones you think should have been included, or your questions for Reggie. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to a caller now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hi. Whoa. I recommend The Whale with Brendan Fraser. I thought his acting was incredible. He's up for Best Actor. And the fact that he had to have all those prosthetics on to act, I think must have made it harder to act. But I really love that film.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call and the recommendation. Now, your Critics' Choice Award, Reggie, Brendan Fraser wins that for Best Actor, nominated in the Oscars. Can you talk about his role there and why it's obviously captured a lot of attention?
Yeah, it's captured a lot of attention, I think, first for the subject matter. And then second, because people really felt that the care by which he took of that character and the subject matter was phenomenal. That people really could identify as, you know, sometimes when you put on all that prosthetics and things, you're like, is this a caricature or is this a real character? And he made it a character, not something that you're really making fun of. And after a while, you're not even thinking about that he has become this bigger guy just to try to play it. I think that he played it fantastically. I must say, though, that if Hong Chau was not in this film, I don't know if his performance would have been as great. I think that Hong, the interaction and the chemistry between the two of them is absolutely magical.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kay, at 800-642-1234. Want to check out another movie that's got various nominations, including Best Pictures. You know me, Reggie. I'm more of an aspirational movie fan. I haven't seen most of these. This is at the top of my list of, yeah, I should totally see this. The Banshees of Inisherin. I want to give a listen to Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. They're having an In Bruges reunion in this movie. Talking about why one of them doesn't want to be friends anymore.
I just have this tremendous sense of time slipping away in me, Patrick. And I think I need to spend the time I've left thinking and composing and just try not to listen to any more of the dull things that you have to say for yourself. But I'm sorry about it. I am, like.
Are you dying?
No, I'm not dying.
But then you've loads of time.
Tell us about The Banshees of Inisherin, Reggie.
The first thing on this one is that, Rob, this was the acting in this was really, really good. Here are two guys who are friends for a long time. And then all of a sudden, as you can hear in this clip, is that one of them is like, I don't want to be around you anymore. I've realized that you're boring. He actually tells the guy's sister in the film, he says, your brother's boring. And she says, well, what changed? He said, I changed because I just don't have room for boring anymore. And so the acting in it is good. It's quirky. It is funny. But I will tell you, it wasn't my favorite film. After I left this film, I was like, I could see how the actors are getting the accolades they're getting. But my question is, for me, was this film memorable or did I care? And I didn't care about the characters. I don't want to tell what happened. There's something real important that happens in this film. And I don't want to tell for people who haven't seen it. But when I left the movie, it's like, oh, okay. It wasn't memorable enough for me, and it really wasn't. But I think the acting merits the accolades that they're getting right now.
We're talking to film critic Reggie Ponder right now, looking at some of the best movies of the year ahead of the Academy Awards coming up on Sunday, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a movie or an actor that you're rooting for at this year's Oscars? What was your favorite movie that you saw last year, whether it's up for nominations or not? Do you need a recommendation for a little homework, something to watch before the awards next weekend? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, about this year's Oscar-nominated movies. And you can join in. Share your favorite movie from last year, what you'd like to see win awards on Sunday, a favorite performance maybe from one of the movies of the last year. Join in with your thoughts or your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Reggie, of the nominees, whether it's Best Picture or other, what's one for you that's kind of a sleeper that you just wish people were out there seeing that you think maybe deserves more of a splash than it's getting?
Women Talking. That was my film. I'm a little biased because I love Frances McDormand mm-hmm. in almost everything. But the conversation that they had, excuse the pun, there was, it was so engrossing for me. And I really liked this movie. I think that they did it so well. And I hope more people would see Women Talking.
Talk a little more about this. It's got a great cast, kind of a difficult story based on a true story, I understand, Reggie.
Yeah, it's based on a true story of the women who are living in this community. Some people would call it a cult, but they're living in this community where they're being raped. And the elders or the priests are basically sanctioning it. They're, that these men can come and have sex with these women at will. And the women are at a point where they're like, we're tired of it. So what are we going to do? And so the Women Talking part is the women coming together, figuring out what are they going to do? Are they going to fight, stay and fight? Are they going to run away? Are they going to try to take their families, like their kids with them? And so they're having this conversation, and all of the things that they bring up are things that make you go, wow, yeah, I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah, well, you do have to consider this. It's a very fascinating conversation, and it's women talking.
Let's step away from Best Picture now, Reggie. I know you like to look at the documentaries, the short films, the animated features, things like that. What kind of things are you pulling for this year? Are you recommending to people?
I think that the film that's going to win for Best Animated Film is going to be Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. And I think it's going to win just because of the breakthrough nature of what they've done from an animated perspective. I was able to go to the premiere for that in New York and see at MoMA. They had this event at MoMA and see what they did. And they raised the level of stop motion animation to greater heights. And I just think just because of the technology and what they did there, the story is fine. I think it's heartwarming and all of that, but just watching this on the big screen. So I would say to people, if you're going to watch it, this is one of those that if they put it back out on the big screen, or if it's out on the big screen in your town, I would recommend people go to see that. I would say, I know we were going to talk a little bit about snubs. I think that mm-hmm. that in that category, Wendell and Wow, which received 24 nominations, including from the Critics' Choice Awards, African-American Film Critics Awards, and other national associations, was snubbed in that category. And I would have liked to have seen that particular film at least get a nomination.
Let's stay on the snub category, Reggie. What other movies or performances do you think should have shown up that did not?
Well, from an acting perspective, a lot of people think that Tom Cruise for Maverick was snubbed. I don't. I don't think he was snubbed. I think he did fine. I think it was an absolute solid movie and a good sequel for that franchise. But snub, no. But Adam Sandler for the movie Hustle, you will see a different Adam Sandler than the one that you probably, when you say his name, that comes into your head. So I think he was snubbed. Viola Davis for The Woman King, she was not nominated, and I believe she was snubbed. And then a lot of people haven't seen the film Till, which will be another movie that I would recommend people see. Danielle Detweiler played Mamie Till in a very, very powerful and breakthrough way. So those would be some from that perspective. Taylor Swift has been, the people believe she was snubbed for her song for Where the Crawdads Sing. And then from a director perspective, which I have to mention, is that this year we went back to Only Men again. Only Men in the director category, and Spielberg now gets his 9th nomination for The Fableman. But you have Sarah Polley for Women Talking, you have Gina Prince of Blythewood for The Woman King, and you have Charlotte Wells for After Sun, and neither of them were nominated. So those will be some of the snubs that I would throw out there. There, movies, if you talk about movies, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, you see the sequel Avatar get one, but not Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. And then Glass Onion, if you've heard about this film, they did a really good job. Some call it a sequel, but it's just a continuation of a different story, really. And Glass Onion is a nice out mystery. I think it got snubbed as well.
Talking to Reggie Ponder about the Oscar awards coming up this Sunday. Still time for your nominations, your hope to wins at 800-642-1234, or just a recommendation of a new movie from the last year, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Reggie, let's return to our tour of the Best Picture nominees. You just mentioned The Fablemans, Steven Spielberg. Some people said, you know, it's kind of one of those celebrations of movies. Other people said it's more than that. Where do you see it?
I think it's probably in the middle. I'll split the baby on that one. I know that's not a good metaphor, but anyway. But it is the kind of movie Hollywood likes. And so hence again, we have Spielberg getting another nomination, a 9th nomination. I think that's a record for directors, I think. But it is personal. It's a true story. And kudos to how they put it together. Michelle Williams was really good in this film as well. So I don't have any qualms with it. I just have more qualms probably with the snubs than the fact that he got another nomination.
Okay, now a friend of mine, I just talked to a friend of mine who's in Chicago, actually, who had just seen this this Triangle of Sadness. And I know nothing about it. And he liked it. But it's kind of weird. What's the deal with Triangle of Sadness?
Yeah, I think this is a sleeper film, actually, that if you look at a lot of the other awards, you don't hear a lot about this particular film. So I was actually, when we didn't talk about surprises, I was actually surprised that this particular film made it on the list. But I've heard a lot of buzz about it. I don't like, Robin, we've talked about this before, and I know I'm getting a little way away from the film, but I don't like this 10 film nomination thing. Every category has 5 nominations except the films. And I believe that they're doing that just from a money perspective, or just to make or to quell some people's fears that they won't be recognized and those types of things. I just don't like it. But I do like it in the sense that some films like Triangles of Sadness get some shine that they shouldn't. But there's a film which is RRR, which I would have had on this list over Triangle of Sadness.
What's RRR?
It's so difficult for me to explain. It's about two men Indian men who grew up in different environments, and they're trying to represent their culture, and they're doing it in two different ways. One infiltrates the British military, and then the other one is a rebel, and they end up having to fight each other. It's part musical, part action film. It's very, very good, and I would recommend that a lot of people see it. I didn't see it until the end, but that would be a recommendation.
And that's got a Best Song nomination that I've been reading some people, and I watched it. It's got a heck of a dance sequence attached to it. This is a top contender for Best Song anyway, if not for Best Picture.
That's right. That's right. So that's what I would throw in there.
Okay, how about this Elvis movie? Baz Luhrmann, who's often kind of over the top, right, in the movies, which maybe is good for an Elvis movie. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't good. I think that Austin Butler again deserves the nomination. There, before Priscilla passed away, she said that she felt that his performance was really true to her father, and so that's a, you know, that's a big thing. And I think that he did a great job in that regard. I think though the telling the story from the producer perspective, which was a Tom Hanks character, it just didn't have that Elvis magic for me. So it was a bit over the top. I think it's consistent, as you just said, and I don't think it has a chance of winning. I don't think he has a chance of winning. The front runners for best actor, I think, is Colin Farrell and Brendan Fraser. But a lot of people believe that Paul might be a front runner as well.
All right, Reg, you were just about out of time. Can you do a should win, will win for best picture as you see it?
Okay, so should win for best picture. Wow. Okay, real quick. A should win should be Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's what I voted for the Critics Choice Awards, and I think will win. If it doesn't win, I will be flabbergasted and floored.
Reggie, we'll see what happens on Sunday, and thanks as always for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
That's film critic Reggie Ponder. He appears weekly on Vocalo in Chicago, among other places. You can follow him on Twitter at Reggie the Real Critic. He was with us today to look back at the best movies of last year ahead of next Sunday's Academy Awards.